This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Hope you're having a better start to the day today. Obviously, people gearing up. You thought the eggs were hard to find and inexpensive before the winter storm. Look out. Eggs, bread, oh my goodness, milk, winter weather. What are we going to do?
My kid was asking for some of those King's Hawaiian rolls. You think those are off
so
the shelf?
Those are so good, man. Those are
you
so
You think those
good.
Are off the shelf?
No, you can probably get those.
Okay. Like
probably
if I go after the show
though.
Today, you
probably
think I
should have gone yesterday.
I didn't want to go yesterday. I was wallowing, you know? Defeat.
I don't think this one's going to be as bad, it sounds like, as what we got in early January or whatever that was.
We'll see. You're going to make it to work?
12 or 13 inches.
You drive a Mazda car
that's
6 inches off the ground.
It does.
My current rental car is a front-wheel drive Mustang. So we going to make it?
I think we'll be all right tomorrow. I do. The snow is not the problem as much as it is the if we have ice, which we didn't have. Or we don't look like we're not going to have this time, which we did have the last time, I should say. So
I think
we'll be all right to coming into tomorrow. We'll see. Drew's got the furthest drive, I think, although yours is mostly interstate. So I'm not sure how that'll play out, but we'll be all right. We'll figure it out tomorrow. You guys can hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Coming up in 30 minutes, our VFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino, is going to join us. He's in nice, warm, surprise Arizona already.
Nice.
Position players are already down there. Pitchers and catchers don't even have to report till later in the week. But you guys know how this goes. A lot of guys show up way earlier anyway. They're ready to get after it.
Yeah.
And we'll ask Vinny about that a little bit and, of course, talk some football and see what he made of Super Bowl 59 and the Chiefs loss. He texted us during the game as well. So we'll figure out his final thoughts on that and look ahead a little bit to the future for not just the Chiefs, but some of the other moves that could happen. I'm assuming today officially Kellen Moore going to be announced as the Saints head
you
coach.
You assume
like,
so.
Everybody knows that's going
to
happen.
I know that Sirianni was trying to beg and maybe they'll ask him to like wait through the parade stuff on Friday. Like I could see it waiting a couple of days. Nobody else is hiring a coach. So like, if you know that he's agreed to the job, if you're the Saints, you don't have to like force him to get his answer out there or anything. But yeah, you're probably right. Probably today or tomorrow. I wouldn't be surprised to find out it's like Saturday and they just like, hey man, can you hold off till we do the parade thing? And then we'll,
maybe so,
you know,
maybe so.
Do you mind? Like you could do the Eagles that small favor.
Our video stream is up and running. You can check us out there. Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, you name it. We've got that up and running. I want to talk about the impact of the game on Sunday some more, a little bit differently than how we did yesterday, where we were discussing, of course, the immediate stuff, but also the dynasty discussion and what it did for the dynasty. What about for Mahomes and Brady and that conversation, the GOAT conversation? Because I think if everybody is being completely honest, this thing is on pause and this thing is delayed until the end of Patrick Mahomes' career. I think it would be foolish to suggest that it's over, which I've seen a lot of that nationally and certainly out of New England Patriots fans who are happy to see the result on Sunday. But it is paused and it has to be paused until the end of Patrick Mahomes' career. But to say it's over would be foolish when both quarterbacks were 3-2 in Super Bowls in the same time period, right? In the first five Super Bowl appearances. So anybody trying to tell you that Mahomes has no chance to ever be the greatest quarterback of all time now, that's foolish. Did it get tougher? Yeah, it got tougher. One, he didn't get to the fourth one before 30, which would have put him on a fast track. And whether we like it or not, the result inside the Super Bowls still is how people nationally are going to look at it. And I understand you and I were talking about Brady and how he had early exits and everything. But I think, just look at the national narrative after the game Sunday and how people still bring up the Bucs game. The margin of defeat for a lot of people, and couple it with the head-to-head stuff for Brady and versus Mahomes, it's a huge hill to climb. It's paused, and we're not going to know the answer until the end of his career. So I don't know, 2036, 2037. I'm not sure. Whenever Mahomes hangs it up.
So I think I finally understand on a deeper level than I did before, the surface level, the LeBron versus Michael Jordan.
Oh man,
debate.
It's so similar.
Because this is exactly how that conversation feels now from the inside, which is, people continuously try to tell me that it is worse to lose in a Super Bowl than to lose at any other point in the playoffs. Somehow losing in the Super Bowl, it's a worse season for Mahomes than Joe Burrow missing the playoffs. It's a worse season than Josh Allen losing in the AFC title game. It's a worse season than Tom Brady losing to Jake Plummer in a divisional round game by 30. All of those are better losses than losing in the Super Bowl, no matter how you lose in the Super Bowl. And I refuse to kind of subscribe to that notion. I think there are other things at play. Do I think your championships still count? I do. My stance is where you are, though, on the bigger picture, which is, we straight up won't know the answer to this until the end. Unless he goes and wins the next two Super Bowls in a row, or three in a row after this one, which I don't think is going to happen, we won't know the answer on who is the greatest of all time quarterback until then. But if you have somebody in your ear telling you that there's now no chance he can ever catch Tom Brady, I think that is idiotic for the same reason you just mentioned. They both were 3-2 in their first five Super Bowls. Tom Brady didn't get to his fifth Super Bowl until he was 34 years old. So technically, Mahomes still has 5 years of coverage to catch up on Tom Brady stats after. The most impressive thing, honestly, about Tom Brady's entire career is how dominant he was from age 36 to like 44. It defies all normal logic from quarterbacking standards, because Patrick Mahomes still had the greatest 20s of any NFL quarterback in NFL history. But it's like, in order to ever be a part of the conversation, he's got to win so many more rings. So like, it's down the road, but it's not off the table.
As we've always said, with you bring up LeBron and MJ, but with any of these, when we're talking about not just who's really good, who's going to make the Hall of Fame, who's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, we are talking about literally the best ever. You're gonna nitpick, and yeah, the margins are so thin. So I think there's plenty of fair arguments against it. It's just, it needs to be on pause right now. The biggest hurdle that Mahomes is going to have, other than the obvious, which is, hey, the sheer number of rings that he's going to have to get close to or get to, is the head-to-head stuff. We knew that going in. That's why we said the three-peat was going to be so important for his own legacy, because perhaps if you got the three-peat, you could say, well, Brady never did that, and the head-to-head loss to Tom in the Tampa Super Bowl, okay, maybe that evens that out a little bit, because so many people are not only going to, you don't have the three-peat in your back pocket anymore, and you're never going to have that.
4-1 in Super Bowls.
Yeah.
The narrative took a big hit.
Oh, let's be honest with it. If Mahomes were to become the GOAT, consensus opinion, not just in Kansas City, just like not just in New England with Tom Brady, consensus across the board, Patrick Mahomes, the work that he has cut out for him is far more now than it ever has been.
Sure.
I would argue. But like you said, making it seem like, well, Brady won a bunch when he was 39 or 40 years old. Mahomes won't do that. Well, one, I don't know if he will. Two, he has 10 years of runway before he's 40. So like,
yes, I don't have to know whether or not he plays.
I would agree with most people. I don't think Mahomes is probably winning two rings after the age of 40. I would agree with that. It's very unlikely. But acting like, well, he's just going to go a decade and he can't. Like, maybe he will go a decade without winning. I don't know.
Tom Brady did.
I don't think so. Tom Brady did. And yeah, and if Mahomes goes a decade without winning another one, then yeah, he's not catching Tom Brady, most likely.
Correct.
All right. I'm pretty certain we agree. But acting like Mahomes over the next decade is not going to go to another Super Bowl or go to two, I think is foolish. And I know typically with normal quarterbacks, we say, hey, you get there once, you might be Dan Marino, you never have a chance again. I think we know by now, Brady and Mahomes, the reason why we're having this conversation, they're different. They're not your normal quarterback. So you're right. When Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson, if he ever gets to one, when they go to one and they don't capitalize and win there, yeah, I think there's a real conversation like, hey, you may never get back. Why am I confident that Mahomes eventually will get back and you are as well? Because the dude's already been to five.
Like the idea that like, well, he may never get back to one. You can almost say that about literally any other player. I think you could say that more confident about Jalen Hurts, the person who just won the Super Bowl and has been to 2 in 4 years. And you can say it about Mahomes. He has been a full-time starter in this league for 7 years. He has attended the Super Bowl 5 times. Do I think it's just going to disappear? And that's the other part. It's like, it comes back to like the only time that I think you legitimately make that is if Mahomes and Reed aren't together. They change coaches and you're maybe
pivot.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. You want to start making that argument? Andy Reed retired tomorrow. He's not. But if like that occurred, fine, make your arguments. But I mean, legitimately, if you just look at what they've done it, I'm so confused by this national narrative that he can't catch him, knowing what he just.
It's way less likely that he catches him now. I mean, that's I also think is the truth too.
Sure.
Though, you know?
Sure. It's less likely than it was a year ago when he was coming off of his second consecutive Super Bowl, had won 3. And if he'd won this one, honest to God, I'd probably be on this show on Monday being like, he's going to catch him.
Well, sure. But why it's so hard. I mean, the one ring is a big deal. It's a big swing. You get 4 before you're 30. Instead, you have 3 before you're 30, which is still an unbelievable and the best start we've seen. But you got, one guy's got 7 of them. And I do think the conversation you and I have disagreed over the last couple of years about how close to 7 does he have to get, right?
Yeah. And I always think there's a number.
Yeah. I think because the three-peat's off the table now, and you're not getting a three-peat, okay? Like they're not going to have an opportunity on that again. It's just
not coming back.
Because of that, I don't think you could have talked me into, well, he could get to 4 or 5, but he has a three-peat and he gets all before the age of 32 or something. You could talk me into, okay, I don't think he can finish just with 4, Cody, with the head-to-head issue, with the margins in the Super Bowl and all that.
I got to get to 5.
At minimum has to get to 5 now.
I agree.
Which is 2 more. Not saying you can't do it, all right? But
certainly seems plausible.
But two is still a lot of work to get there. But it is not over. Don't let anybody tell you that it is completely over. That's what people in New England would love you to think, and they're confident that it's over. And my confidence in him ever catching Brady is way less today than it was 72 hours ago. But it's going to be same thing with the coaching stuff. I mean, Belichick and Andy Reid, that's on pause a little bit too. Let's be real. That's on pause.
Sure.
Also still attainable.
Yeah, because Andy's got 3 Super Bowls and Belichick's only got 6, not 7. So easier if he gets that same number 5 as Mahomes. The sucky thing about this is the next time Mahomes goes to a Super Bowl, and I don't mean if, I just the next time he goes, which I assume is.
I think in the next 4 years, he'll be another one. Yep.
I honest to God, if you let me bet next 2, I'd probably say yes. But so when he goes to the Super Bowl again, he is going to be facing down the barrel of the single biggest legacy swing of all time, which is either going to go, okay, he's like still that dude and things are still on track and he's the second greatest quarterback, at least of all time. He's got a chance at the first, or he doesn't show up in Super Bowls, even though he has 3.
That's ridiculous.
Even though he has 3 Super Bowl titles, if he loses the next one, the narrative will then shift to he's not a gamer. He doesn't show up. Because I can already hear
That's
it
crazy.
A little.
That's crazy.
But I can already hear it a little from the national perspective.
Look, he needs to play better.
I can already hear it a little.
I think you would admit, I mean, one, he owned this past one. But in general, if you look at the other Super Bowl wins, in the first half in particular, he has not had good first halves in Super Bowls. For whatever reason, first halves, he has not. The reason why they've won 3 of them, he's been incredible in the fourth quarter. And when it matters most, we all know the comebacks in each one of those.
The clutch drives, the big
first
moments.
Half, yeah. So for whatever reason, he's got to be better in the first half. I put some of that on coaching as well. This one on Sunday aside, the whole team was offensively was a complete mess, and he is a huge, huge part of that. But yeah, the narrative that you're bringing up, that probably will be it. It's silly, but that you're right. The next time he's in there, there almost will be more pressure to go and get one. And you hope if you look at Mahomes, and I think he's that type of person, I bet you he's as motivated as ever. After that performance that he just had, we said that after the Bucks won, that he's going to be more motivated than ever because of how that game played out. And then what did he do? He rattled off 2 rings the next 3 years. So I in terms of fire and you know all those cliches we use to describe athletes sometimes. Oh, I think he'll have even more of that going forward. Does it mean they're back in the Super Bowl next year? I don't know. Let's see what the offseason brings. Is it a lot?
6 times in 7 years?
The betting markets will tell you they're basically co-favorites in the AFC. Yeah. So they'll have just as good of a shot as anybody. It'll be more challenging next year, I do think, because of pieces that will not be here, which we'll get into in some of the free agents and everything like that. The question I think we all have is what's the big shift this offseason?
Like, what's the market adjustment?
We all know left tackle is not number one priority. I mean, it's not even close. They have not developed a left tackle. But we know in 2018, when they lost to the Patriots, they blew up the entire defense. Mm-hmm. They brought in Steve Spagnuolo. They brought in Tyrann Mathieu, right? They traded for Frank Clark. Like, that was the overhaul. And it changed. Honestly, they don't go on this run without that. Then the Bucs Super Bowl. We all know it was, man, they overhauled the entire offensive line. It was a tough decision at the time. You know, like, they moved on from Eric Fisher. Remember, that was a big deal at the time. They let Eric Fisher go, and that was an emotional thing. And people were wondering, should they do that? Should they not? And they drafted Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith not too long after that and everything. Then after they lost to the Bengals in the AFC title game a couple years ago, they trade Tyreek Hill. Everybody's, what the hell are you doing? They bring in youth. They use those draft picks to go and have one of the best drafts you'll ever see. All of that happened. So what's 2024, 2025 now offseason look like? Is every year, to Brett Veach's credit, they fixed it.
When it goes bad, when it ends, they fix it.
I mean, to me, the fix is, we'll talk about the explosive running back stuff in 20 minutes, but it's clearly finding the left tackle of the future, which is the one thing that Brett Veach has just not been able to do. He's been incredible at everything else. Left tackle. They have not found that answer at left tackle. And that has to be, I think, the overhaul this offseason. It's easier said than done, because I was texting with Bink yesterday. I'm like, be honest. Like, what do you, I'm not going to spend my time looking at mock drafts yet. It's too early, but I know you have. And he's like, oh yeah. He's like, not a good offensive line draft, especially at 31.
I feel like I've heard that every year for like a decade straight.
Well, I'm just saying.
Apparently don't make good offensive linemen in college anymore.
There is an offensive line issue in the NFL.
There's no Joe Alt.
Yeah, there is.
In this one, there's some good ones. Like there's a guy from Texas, a guy from LSU, but that's about it.
I mean, he can just sign and Ronnie Stanley, I guess, 10. For whatever it costs to pay him. Although he can't stay healthy a good chunk of the time either. I think, so, the obvious is offensive line. I look at this as a more broad, the way I would attack this offseason if I were Veach, it's offensive overhaul time. Offensive overhaul, not offensive line. Defense is the defense. You still got Karlaftis. Yeah, you're going to need one more pass rusher because the minute he's either a free agent or you try to bring him back. Chris Jones is still around. You go back to the draft and the defensive line maybe for one of your picks. All your corners are young. Most of your safeties are still here. You move on from Reed and you do Connor. And like a normal offseason turnover where things are the full offensive overhaul. I'm tired of watching the league's best quarterback be on a mediocre NFL offense. It's nuts. And so, yeah, it probably starts with the offensive line.
Has to.
But I wouldn't care. Like, yeah, offensive line's a part of it. But I'm also fine if they just say, you know what, for a year, let's see what it looks like, what they do with all these young quarterbacks. And they stack the deck for Patrick Mahomes offensive weapon-wise, where it's undeniable they've got one of the best weapon groups or sets in the entire NFL. Because you got to do something to spice this up a little bit.
The running back's part of that, and I think that's where the draft should come into play. I would try to go and spend a fairly premium pick, not a first-round pick, but a fairly high pick. You know, third round, maybe you could talk me into a second rounder, depending on the back, on an explosive
young... You know they'll be late in the second round. Makes it easier.
Explosive young running back. I don't want them to go spend a ton of money in free agency on a running back or something like that. That would not be smart at this point.
No.
There's no other Saquon Barkley of the world out there.
I mean, if a guy like that was out there, then
That the running back, to your point about being more explosive on offense and all that, that's where that's at. Wide receiver wise, I mean, they're going to have Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy back. Kelsey's the big outlier here. We just don't know his future. So everybody keeps saying there's a great tight end draft. I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe they say, all right, we're going to go running back in the draft. We're going to go tight end in the draft, and we're going to go either spend big money on a left tackle, or we're going to go trade for a left tackle. I could see if I had to like pick what I really want them to do, without looking at the exact candidates that exist who might be available in trade, I would find a way. Is there an Orlando Brown Jr. type of left tackle trade, a guy that's already been in the league a little bit, to go trade for? I would spend two of my first three picks or four picks in the draft on running back and tight end. And obviously, you know, wide receiver will get drafted at some point in time too. But I don't think they can go into next offseason though and just say, oh, we're just gonna load up on wide receiver and not solve our left tackle problem.
The problem is at wide receiver, and I've looked at the free agency market. It ain't great. Like, unless you're gonna pay T. Higgins a number that I do not think T. Higgins should be paid, your options are Keenan Allen or Stephon Diggs or Godwin. You have got to find, like, and maybe it is just in the offensive line. Maybe it's just, let's have the league's best offensive line, and that's how we'll be an elite level offense and can actually push the ball down the field. Because it's not that I don't think they have no chance of pushing the ball down the field. Xavier Worthy should offer you that option if you decided to bring back Hollywood Brown. it should bring you that option. We obviously know once Rashee Rice is on the field, he can handle all the underneath stuff and the volume game certainly in there. But you cannot keep telling me that there is not enough offensive weapons to go around. They've gone defensive heavy. Their draft picks have included a lot of defensive linemen, a lot of corners, a lot of that draft you mentioned in 2022. It was great. It was all defense.
Yeah, that's why they've been, and that's why they've been more of the last 2 years. They've been more of a defensive football team. It seems like it is now time to shift the resources and into the offense. And I think they're well aware of that as well. They got a ton of decisions to make, and we'll get into those throughout the show today and for the next weeks, you know, weeks and weeks ahead as the league year approaches in March and everything. They're based on also where they pivot on Trey Smith or Joe Tooney will also dictate so much of this too. I mean, if they somehow bring back Trey Smith, which would be the, you know, the biggest guard deal in NFL history, well, then that really changes how they can even go about their business.
In any of those years previous, were there as many questions about the team in general as it seems like there are right now?
Yeah, the Bucs one. After the Bucs Super Bowl, there were this many. Like, just dead serious. Like, and I'm not just saying that because they lost the Super Bowl.
Not just offensive line, but just position by position. There's as many.
They had no left tackle, no right tackle for starters. Yeah. Like, Eric Fisher was going to be a free agent. They had no, like.
Yeah, Drew, I don't know if it's questions as much as it. They have more players this go around they have to make decisions on internally.
I think that's more of it, I think.
Like, yeah, that's fair. I don't think it's questions of like, oh my gosh, who's going to play blank position necessarily. It's more of, man, what do they do with McDuffie's future deal? What do they do with Karlaftis, Nick Bolton, Trey Smith, Joe Tooney? Like, there's more of those questions as far as position, like, hey, got to go upgrades. I think it's not any different upgrade-wise than what they were looking at after the Tampa Super Bowl.
Like, the Tampa Super Bowl, they were trying to make a decision, same as Justin Reed for Tyrann Mathieu was a total wash. They still had 1 year remaining, I think, before they moved on from Frank Clark, so those were probably in a two-year time span. But they were looking for running back help, like they're looking for running back help now. That was around the time they ended up. A year after that, they decided to move on from Tyreek Hill. Maybe it's the year after that, because then it was full rehaul. It was no more Tyreek Hill. They let go of Frank Clark. They were still trying to figure out running back again, because at that point, they knew Clyde wasn't the guy. Like, they were, I mean, I'm not saying like this is, I would say that what the Chiefs are facing down is like a slightly higher than average NFL offseason for most teams. Because if I did this for any team, if I just plucked one out of the sky and I said, doesn't matter, Cleveland, or I chose your team in Cincinnati, well, they got to make a decision on who to sign. Let's just start there, right? Like Kansas City does, right? Do they give Ja'Marr Chase the money? Do they try to sign T. Higgins? They have to overhaul their entire defense. Are they comfortable with their, you know, like they have just as many or close to just as many. Kansas City's probably in the higher end of that a little bit. But they also are not like completely screwed by the cap. They're not the Saints. They're not negative $60 million in the hole.
This is where the Travis Kelce's decision also can change their flexibility or not. I mean, if he comes back, it's a big cap hit. But my guess is he would add an additional year, and they would move the money around. Like basically have a dead year in 2026. And so the cap hit to me, either way, I don't believe the Chiefs will have a $19 million cap hit for Travis Kelce, either because he retires and he's just not there, or because he's back and they add another year and they move some, you know, they basically have a dead cap situation where they're able to have some funny money. So I think they'll end up with more space, I guess is what I'm telling, than what they have presently, because I think Mahomes could end up restructuring. I think there's some things they can do, as we know how this game was played in the offseason. Right now you look like, man, they don't have any cap space really to do much. There's two options I just gave you right there that are not that crazy, because they've done it before with Kelce and Mahomes to free up some
like
money.
I always point out like the people are still like, well, he's overpriced based on the price. No, he's not. Tiggins is going to get $25 million a year.
Who's overpriced? Sorry.
Travis Kelce.
Gotcha.
He's not, in my opinion. T. Higgins, I always talk about this in like per production. T. Higgins is going to make $25 million a year. We all agree about that. He's going to get like 4 for $100, maybe a little bit more, but at least that 4 for $20. Yep. You know, $25 million a year. He is a dead-on 900 to 1,000-yard wide receiver. That's what Travis Kelce still is, even in a down year. He's a 900. So, and he's $19 million. He's actually a haircut on the same level of production if you tried to go buy it in the free agency market. Like, tight end, because of how far it is from wide receiver, is always a discount based on the level of production.
Yeah, and some people on the text are, why would you draft a tight end? Well, it's all dependent on, is Kelce retiring or not? If Kelce doesn't retire, then
eventually.
If Kelce doesn't retire, depends on how good you think the draft class is. If you think this is a great tight end draft class, go ahead and pluck your tight end this year. I understand they drafted Wiley last year. I don't care. That's fine. He also got hurt, unfortunately. So I don't know, you know,
and what Jared Wiley is not. If they have a chance to get Tyler Warren or whatever, they're going to take Tyler Warren.
They're not going to be able to get, I don't think. I don't think Tyler. We're
or Colston Loveland from Michigan.
Tyler Warren,
the case
I don't,
is.
I mean.
Harold Fannin from Bowling Green. Either way.
I don't know any of these people, should I?
You know, Tyler Warren, you know.
Well, but the rest, he's just, he's just making up
Colston
names.
Colston Loveland is really, really, really good.
Colston Loveland, I will say. Kind of already interested in drafting him. That is the most tight end name of all time. Colston Loveland, that guy's definitely going to succeed. That's a Cole Kmet. Like, I mean, that's just like, that's a tight end name, man.
913-586-7965. Someone says, do you think they have given up on Sua Mataia? Left tackle, I think that's done. I think he's going to be a guard for this team. Yeah, I think he'll end up being a guard for this
team. He's Trey Smith or Joe Tooney's replacement.
Correct. Yeah, one of the two. I don't think, you know, I personally don't think Trey Smith is back just because of the pure dollars. I would love him back, but I
saw Matt Verderam suggested they do bring him back.
Yeah, he thinks they should bring him back, yeah.
Shouldn't you just, honest to God, based on Brett Veach's normal strategy and who he pays, shouldn't he walk on Tooney and pay Trey?
Well, certainly one's younger than the other. I would say...
Well, obviously the quality of play of Tooney's is better right now. I'm not... But he's 32, 33 years old. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know if they need to pay Joe Tooney either. I'm just saying that Brett Veach's track record on non-premium positions, when guard, we would agree, is not a premium position, as good as Trey Smith is.
Pretty far down the list.
The way it's getting paid, but no.
Right.
No.
But even top market for left guard is not the same as top market for D-end or wide receiver or something like that. Unless your name is Kelce Jones or Mahomes, this organization has shown time and time again they are not paying top of market. Why do
they
I think
top of market for Tooney once?
At the time, though, and now that looks like an unbelievable deal. At the time, they did when they were doing what? Revamping the entire offensive line.
I guess that's...
But they just don't do that typically. That would be going against... Not saying GMs can't pivot. That'd be going against everything we've seen from Brett Veach in his time here.
Other than youth and the fact that he's paid a guard once, but you're right.
Top of market, though.
It was top of the market.
If you're desperate enough, I think you paid top of market.
It was top of the market for Tooney, and it was desperate. And he was top of the market when, like, everybody knew he was the best left guard in football. I like Trey Smith. This is not to be a knock on him. I don't think you would universally get all 32 NFL GMs to agree that he is the best right guard in football. I think at the time Joe Tooney was a free agent, you would have gotten a majority, 30, 25, 20.
I think a lot of people believe Trey Smith is. I think a lot of people believe
the top?
Except for Bart Scott, who thinks he's a backup.
Well, he's not a. Well, that's
Bart
just nuts.
Well, Bart Scott.
I think he's one of the best right guards. I'm just making the argument of whether or not the league.
That's just bad. He's the that's just bad prep on Bart Scott's
Very
part. He doesn't
bad
actually
part.
Think Trey Smith's a backup. He just doesn't know what the hell he's talking about roster wise. That was he made it. He, yeah,
that was
he
very
just
bad.
Screwed. That
I think
up.
The Chiefs should just trade for Bowers. The Raiders should give up. Really tank. You know. Give up on everything. What do you have? How long till you're good? 78 years? What are they going to do? Bring in Russell Wilson this year?
In fairness to Gold's point, though, I think if you make a trade, if you make a trade, you give up something. It's got to be for a tackle. I don't know if you trade for anybody else unless it's a left tackle. Yeah.
Someone says, hey, they paid Creed Humphrey. They did. Now, center, top market at center, once again, if you look at the dollar amount for that.
A more valuable position.
But the top paid center, if you compare, so Creed Humphrey is making $18 million a year. Go look at the fifth highest paid or third highest paid guard and what he's making. Go look at my point is the top paid center in football. That it's nothing compared. Like the number two center in football is making 13.5 on average each year. It's just that position is cheap by NFL standards. It's a cheap position.
He did a little,
but that position is cheap compared to any other. Like the other than kicker and punter. You start going through highest paid player position. Center is very, very low on the list of highest paid positions in the league.
Yeah, it's not running back, but it's pretty low.
No, it's definitely not running back.
That's
all right.
It's as low as it gets.
Coming up next, though, let's talk a little bit more about the NFL bigger picture. Vinny Pasquantino, our NFL insider, is going to call in. He's out in Surprise, Arizona. The Royals season right around the corner.
This is Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com.
Men, ask yourself a question. Been feeling tired, lacking motivation, maybe gain a little weight, could have lost some muscle mass? All of these things could be signs of low testosterone. Don't wait. Just go find out over at the Low T Center. They'll get your levels checked, simple test, on-site lab, get your results back right there. It's not your typical doctor's office. At the Low T Center, the physicians specialize in treating low T with testosterone replacement therapy, or TRT, for each individual patient, not something where like, oh, we'll just generally treat everybody. No, not your standard treatments, for you individually. The experts at Low T have over a decade of experience helping patients, and that is super important as they start looking at those personalized treatment plans. If you're already going to Low T, let other people know about how great it is. For current patients, Low T offers you a $150 referral credit for each new patient that you refer. And at Low T, you can also get your health evaluated treatment for prescription GLP-1 weight loss medications. Get back to your best. Go to lowtcenter.com to book your appointment today. That's lowtcenter.com. Low T Center, reinventing men's health.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Care.
There's a drive, well hit, deep right field, at the wall, Noel, and gone. Pass Constantino just got it over the fence. Noel, I don't think the right fielder ever gave up on it. We told you about the breeze blowing toward the right field corner. It didn't hurt Pasquantino's high fly ball at all.
Did he give him no credit?
Denny Matthews on the call here on 96.5 The Fan. I feel like we needed some good vibes today. You know, let's think about the Royals and the great memories during their season as well. And spring training right around the corner. Vinny Pasquantino, our VNFL insider, is in Surprise, Arizona. Where's that home run stack up? We were laughing at the call.
Yeah, that home run's fine. There was also another one where I hit one against Miami, I believe, and Ryan Lefebvre's like, oh, he hits it up, and the wind is going to blow that one. Oh, it's going to blow that one. Oh, that's a homer. So that was that's good, too. I've actually never hit a home run that I deserved.
I saw you on Twitter the other day texting with or tweeting with a stat account, obviously, that handles some of like the more advanced analytics that I know you're interested in. And you saw one screenshot of one photo and was like, that's my favorite swing of my entire life. I didn't realize players had a favorite swing of their entire life.
Yeah. Well, I hammered that ball. That was a good swing. I think about that one a lot because I wish I could just do it every time. Yeah. So saw that picture. I'm like, well, there's also a few reasons I know it's that one. It's because I forgot my elbow guard that series. So I was wearing a white elbow guard and you could see that in the picture. So there's only four at bats that I've had wearing a white elbow guard on the road. And I know which ones those are.
Wow, that's specific.
That makes sense, though. Makes a lot of sense.
Well, my back right pocket was actually out, too. I hated that. I'm running around the bases, and my back right pocket is out. Nobody told me.
Do you guys, I mean, you guys got routine and everything. Something like that, though, is that something you just notice right away?
Yes, 100%. Yeah, I notice a lot of stuff like that when I go back and watch.
This might be a stupid question. I guess I just thought other people packed that kind of stuff for you. I didn't think you packed your own elbow guard. I apologize. I just figured, like, you know, it's like a checklist of the stuff for somebody else to do.
They pack the important stuff. So, like, pants, jersey, that's pretty much what they pack, pants and jersey. Other than that, we pack it on our own. Like, the day after, or not the day after, when you come up from a series to the locker room and you're about to travel, your bag will be sitting in front of your locker and you have to pack it. I mean, I suppose I don't have to. I could probably ask somebody to pack it for me, but having people pack stuff for you is frightening. Because what if they forget? Like, if I forget, at least I can blame myself. But if somebody packs it for me and forgets, what am I going to do, get mad at them? That feels like my fault for not packing.
Has anybody ever, I mean, whether you're in the minors or whatever, when you're, obviously that's a whole different story, but have you ever had something not show up other than the elbow guard?
You know what's funny is that same series, I don't know what was going on with me. I left my glove, my game glove. I don't even know how. Oh, I know how. I left it down in the batting cage and just completely forgot to go back down there before I left. So they overnighted it to me, which was hilarious.
What was your backup plan? Were you just going to borrow somebody else's?
Yes, that's exactly what I did. I used Nick Prado's glove for one game in Minnesota, and then I got my glove back.
I just like that. You remember every single piece of equipment malfunction that has existed in your entire major league career.
Just to make us very jealous, you're in Arizona, right? You're already out there for spring training and everything. We're about to get, you know, 7 or 8 inches of snow here. What's the weather like there?
It's sunny. I'm currently driving, but let's see what the car tells me it is outside. It is 58 degrees and sunny. It's a high of 67 today, a low of 45.
That sounds very nice.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like it. It's a little chilly this morning, but it's a little different chilly than at home.
All right, look, as you can tell, we've been avoiding talking about the Super Bowl with you.
We've been trying to avoid that.
We appreciate the text during the game. Kansas City is still a little bit in mourning, to say the least, after that one. What was your perspective? I mean, we all compared it to the Tampa Super Bowl from a couple of years ago. Just a stunning, dominant effort by Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, it was just that was like a good old-fashioned beatdown. It happens. It just sucks when it happens it sucks when it happens to your team when it hasn't happened in like 4 years. But I would say every other team in the NFL this year had one of those games. Probably. It just happened that it came for them in their last game. Like, I don't know. Who else did the Eagles lose to?
Pittsburgh, right? Didn't they? I could be wrong. I think they lost to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, something. But, like, it's just something. You know, it happens. I mean, they didn't blitz once, and they were just able to get pressure after pressure after pressure. That's not usual. So, I don't know. It's just a bad game. It's one of those that if it happened during the regular season, it'd be a throwaway. Like, ah, get rid of that one. But it happened in the Super Bowl, so it sucks.
Do you, like, I guess as, like, a fan of, like, it doesn't matter really the team. Do you try to, like, soften the blow with, like, stats to back up? Like, the Chiefs had not lost a playoff game in 1,100 days. So, like, this is pretty rare sight for Chiefs fans. They're not accustomed to it. Can you take some solace, you know, in, like, a couple of days later, like, well, you know, oh, no, I'll cry myself to sleep at the other three rings they've won while I've been watching them the last 7 years?
I think it's more so, like, maybe from a fan's perspective, but as a player, it's like, no, we were supposed to go win that game. Like, we need to go win that game. I think as time goes, you start to appreciate what you've done and what you've won and everything, but, you know, you're there to win that game. Everything else is irrelevant at that point. But I think you can sit back and be like, you know, what – I think that the weird topic is kind of like, hey, like, it's not over. Patrick Mahomes is still your quarterback.
Right.
Like, there's no reason this team's not in the next 8 Super Bowls. So it's just – it's one of those things that sucks now. But I think also, like – I think just with how sports media is today, like, there was so much talk about best team of all time, best quarterback ever, like, all that stuff, that it just, when they eventually lose, like, now it's got to flip for some reason. Be like, I think I saw on ESPN yesterday, it was like, does Mahomes even have a chance to be the GOAT anymore? It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah,
like, the same reason that I wouldn't say he's the best of all time last week is the same reason that you can't say that this week. I don't know. It's just crazy. I just think it gets enhanced with everybody talking about it all the time.
No doubt. I mean, we started our show today saying, like, I think the GOAT discussion is on pause, but anybody saying it's over because of that game, that's foolish. We feel like, hey, let's see what happens over the next 10 years. And I think it'll be fairly obvious at that point in time, or it's going to, you know, be a scenario where Mahomes gets right back to a Super Bowl. And then, as you said, it'll be the reversed again. If Mahomes gets back next year, let's say, and somehow wins one, then everybody will very quickly flip in the opposite direction. We're talking to Vinny Pasquantino, our NFL insider. As a player, though, I heard during pregame coverage and even during the broadcast, Tom Brady, before we even knew the result of the game, saying that, like, you're going to remember the loss in a Super Bowl in the biggest game of your life far more, and it's going to bug you far more than even, you know, maybe the joy of winning one of those. I'm assuming, like, when it comes to a bad loss for you or a bad day at the plate, like, I'm assuming you know specifically those days.
Yeah, I think you definitely remember the bad more than the good because you expect yourself to be good. So when you're not, it's kind of like almost surprising. I don't know. It's like, Tom, you won 7 Super Bowls, man. Like, 7. I don't know if I have a whole lot of time to be like, oh, man, I'm so mad we lost that one Super Bowl. Because it's like, okay. I don't know. I don't know. I probably have the wrong mindset with that. Like, I like winning more than I hate losing. Maybe that makes me soft. I don't know. But I try to appreciate the wins more. I've also never been in a situation where I've been in that many championship games back to back to back. And, you know, it's just that's your thing is you win. So I don't know, hard for me to answer. I just think it's one of those things where, like you guys were talking about, like, sometimes you do got to appreciate what you've been able to accomplish so far. It doesn't mean you can't accomplish more, but, it's been super special in Kansas City, and there's no reason that, like, it's not, nobody died. I mean, I'm sure somebody has died over the past few days, but not like, you know what I'm saying?
No, I got you. I got you. Yeah.
You're saying you will survive. Time will heal all wounds.
Yes, that is correct.
Hey, Vinny, I meant to ask, we do the Cody and Gold Garage Show. You've donated items to it over the last couple of years. If you decide at any point that you don't want that piece of metal from your thumb, can we have it for the garage sale?
No. I'll probably have some stuff for you guys, but I'm going to go ahead and keep that one.
I just said if you decide you didn't want it anymore, like before you just throw it in the trash, you know?
Yeah. If I ever decide that I don't want it anymore, you guys got it.
that, I'm not asking for it now. Just like if you change your mind, you know, you're decluttering one day. You guys are having like a Marie Kondo moment. She's like, this got to go.
Yeah, perfect.
I don't know if you can say anything more, but we saw you had a little teaser video out there through Major League Baseball. Like, we look at MTV Cribs, Vinny Pasquantino style here or something?
More or less. MLB Contents team came through Nashville. They came over to my house. They watched us work out. It was a pretty cool day. So I don't know when everything is going to be released, but I think it'll be pretty cool when it is. They did a pretty good job. I've seen some of the early clips of it. And hopefully it'll end up being really good, and I'm excited to share it with everybody.
Is there a unique feature of your house that we should be looking forward to?
No, I don't think so. I don't think we highlighted anything like that. My dog makes his acting debut. My wife makes her acting debut, so it's pretty good.
I'm looking forward to it.
I just didn't know if the basement, you didn't have a coffee table before, right? Wasn't that the whole thing? Is there a coffee table down there?
Yeah, still don't have one.
Okay.
Still don't have one. Yeah.
Are you ever planning on getting one, or is that just like a permanent state of being?
During the season, I always tell myself, we're going to furnish the house. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And then we get there in the off season. It's like, we don't really need that.
All right. Any news on a contract update before we let you go? If they offered you an extension today?
A contract for me?
Yeah.
No. Sorry, guys. No.
All right. Anybody else on the team? Anything you're hearing? You're in Arizona now, so we need all the scoop.
No. But if that's what guys want, I hope they get them. So I hope nothing but happiness for everybody.
Love it. There you go. Vinny, well, enjoy the start of spring training. I'm sure the next time we talk to you might be in a clubhouse in the regular season. So we appreciate you coming on throughout the football season.
Yep. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you all. And we'll see you next year for more football coverage,
That's right. That's our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino, who was kind enough throughout the entire football season to join us and give us some good insight, not only on the NFL, but obviously just kind of how he approaches things sports-wise and in life, and got to know him even more. So we'll miss having him on every week, but we'll have some interviews maybe in the clubhouse throughout the season.
Not surprising news. We could have asked Vinny about it, but it just broke. The Saints are hiring offensive coordinator Kellen Moore as their new head coach per Jordan Schultz and Adam Schefter and kind of every other NFL insider. That's not surprising news by any means.
That's a tough job. But, there's only 32 of them. If you're Kellen Moore, you were the hot name a couple of years ago in Dallas.
And he passed on it. Didn't have a job for a while.
Yeah, he got kind of kicked out of Dallas with Mike McCarthy, then goes to the Chargers. Then, of course, Brandon Staley gets let go, and then he gets hired there and did a great job, clearly, in Philadelphia with Jalen Hurts in that offense this year. And after 1 year as an OC there, he's a head coach. We'll see. This is a really tough job. Hopefully, for his sake, they gave him a little bit of a longer contract, knowing that this is not probably getting fixed in year one because of the cap situation down there. Kellen Moore, everybody always said, when I worked in Boise, and obviously he played at Boise State, I was not there when he was playing, but he's the best quarterback in Boise State history, obviously. And if you look
at the most iconic moments.
And if you look at college football, some of the stats that are out there, he still owns a lot of records. I think he's still maybe he might be the winningest quarterback in college football history. He's at least very high on the list.
Case Keenum are up there.
Yeah, very high on the list. So legend there. But everybody there always said just how intelligent he was. Like everybody's, he's gonna be a head coach one day. There's certain players people just know, and everybody knew even when he was playing, he's going to be a head coach. He's very calm demeanor and all that. So best of luck to him in New Orleans. That's just a really tough job because Derek Carr, you're probably stuck with him, aren't you? For a year based on the cap situation. Yeah.
He also has a no trade clause. Good for him for getting it.
Yeah.
But like he can hold them the same way Kirk Cousins is, which is I just be like, I'm not leaving. You can either cut me and pay me all the money and I'll just go Russell Wilson my way onto a team where I'll be the lowest cap hit player on the entire team, which gives us a pretty good chance to win because you're still paying me my full salary, or I'll be the starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. And if I were him, I'd be like, I don't really care which you choose, but those are the two.
A good thing for him, at least they're in a division that is maybe winnable in the next 3 years if they can
still
figure it out.
Division.
No, I mean, we'll see what Carolina does in another year. Bryce Young improved. Michael Penix is, of course, the guy now in Atlanta. New Orleans, you're just kind of stuck. In Tampa, you still got Baker, still have Todd Bowles, but you have a new offensive coordinator again. Tampa, I'm sure, will be very competitive yet again in that division. A little bit of Chiefs news, just briefly. There was basically a fake Twitter account, but then some reason people were running with it around DeAndre Hopkins, and there was a fake Twitter account that posted.
There was a fake Adam Schefter.
Yeah. Adam Schefter is what it was,
yeah.
I believe.
There was, and some people weren't paying attention, and so people were running with that, and the tweet was suggesting that D-Hop was going to retire. DeAndre Hopkins, from his official Twitter account, this is his account, at DeAndre Hopkins, he tweeted out, I don't know, 20 minutes ago, don't know what you heard, but I'm not done yet. That doesn't mean he's coming back to Kansas City, but it sure sounds like he's not retiring. So, and that, 'cause that was, there was some speculation about that. What I'll be curious to hear is, as time goes on this offseason, we find out that he has some procedure done and he was hurt. You know, we already knew he had the knee stuff back in Tennessee, but do we find out and why the snaps weren't there after, I don't know, what was that, when did he get traded? Week 10, he really didn't play much, so...
He had one big game against the Raiders, didn't he? Or is that?
Or sorry, not week 10. Yeah, would have been week. So he arrived in week 8, right before week 8, because we were in Vegas for that one. And then after week 10 or 11, it just seemed like he wasn't as huge factor anymore. I know we got a touchdown Super Bowl, but
I still think he was hurt a little bit. But come on. Can we be honest for a minute? I mean, it's pretty hard to watch the last 2.5 months of the season and not think what we're all thinking.
He
right?
said he's he was healthy, washed. But I don't know. Man.
No, that he's just washed. He's just like,
I don't know about that.
Like, I watched DeAndre Hopkins play, and I'm not like, he can't. He can catch it like anyone's business. He can't separate.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's hurt.
He can't separate.
Yeah, he's not the same player he was 5 years ago. No doubt. I think
he was never on any injury report, though. And obviously, you have to report those things, but he was never on it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you have to, or the legal. Look, I'm not saying I've got like
behavior now. Uh-huh.
Look, my sources are pretty loose on this one, if you want me to be honest. But I've had multiple people who are close to ish the organization who have said he was.
It was any, wasn't it?
Like, it's like the difference between the difference between injured and hurt, right? Where like he's an older player and it probably was never going to be right this season. So injury report is not necessarily where that lands on.
Right.
As much as it is just like it is a thing he's that limits with. Your ability for the rest of the season. It's
we'll
not like
out.
You're not going to practice because of it. But and look, that could be way off. But I, you know, like
we
just,
know he had a knee
separate.
Issue. We know he had a knee issue, though, not enough to prevent a trade from happening. But there was a reporter in Tennessee that was on, I think, with CDOT at one point when the trade happened and said he's kind of got some meniscus thing. He knows about it. He's playing through it. Everybody knows about it kind of thing. And who knows? I'm not trying to make excuses for him, but like I think there's a real chance he was hurt. Either way, I bring up the tweet because there was speculation that he was just going to retire. And based on that tweet, I'm not saying he can't change his mind. Based on that tweet from DeAndre Hopkins, that's him saying, I'm not retiring.
Yes.
So he will play football next year. My guess is, is it in Kansas City? I would say it's probably not in Kansas City. But yeah.
You know, like if it were up to me and Brett Veach, I'm looking to get younger and faster at the wide receiver position just across the board.
Yeah, I don't think Juju or D-Hop are back next year if we're just guessing here on February 11th.
And look, they weren't trying to bring Juju back last year necessarily. They just... had other things come up, Hollywood got hurt in a preseason
more likely
game, and they had to do it.
Hollywood's more likely to come back, but you know, I just wonder if other teams will be willing to give him multi-year deals.
Yeah.
And if that's what it takes to give him back, maybe the Chiefs like him that much. They obviously were interested in signing him a year ago. I wonder with Worthy's season and role, if they're like, hey, we kind of got that guy now. That'll be Worthy, and we have Rice, and we'll try to find a different type of receiver. We don't need Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy. I don't know. That's just my opinion. I wonder if that's their thought process. If I can bring him back on a one-year deal, I'm very interested in Hollywood Brown being back on this team. Multi-year deal, if someone's willing to do that, I'm not so sure.
My issue with him is the same. One-year deal, I you know, generally feel like are low to no risk, so I don't really care. Multi-year deal, no way. He can't stay on a football field. Like, just again, no. And I get it. Like, we're going to chalk this one up in the freak injury category.
I think
he was hurt the previous, like, two or three. I don't really care what it can't be on a field either way. Whether it's a knick-knack injury or a freak injury, he has had, like, 3 or 4 consecutive seasons of not being able to be on a football field for a full NFL season.
Well, and going back to the previous conversation we had before we went to break and had Vinny on, was if you're going to, well, given what position groups you have to make decisions on, I feel like Hollywood Brown and the money you would have to pay him is worth bringing back, because wide receiver is a need, sure, but it's not in terms of the list of we need to figure this position out. It's not in the top three of positions to figure out, I don't
think. Blame
it's all just depending on what's the feel on the market. You know, is he an attractive candidate for somebody? And somebody says, hey, we'll give you a 2-year deal.
How much did they pay him this year? Seven?
With incentives, it was maybe with incentives, 9. I don't have them in front of me.
I don't know if they can get anything similar to that, but they might be able to.
He probably didn't hit many of those incentives.
If I'm the Chiefs, I would sign him the exact same deal again.
Yeah.
I don't know if he wants that, but if I was the Chiefs, I'd be very interested in that because it was very team friendly. The thought when he signed, we all remember when he signed here, was, hey, all right, you come here, you have a huge season, you're going to go get paid in the offseason, whether it's here or somewhere else. Well, this year he didn't play enough, but is there still some team that thought they saw enough and they're willing to give him that deal?
Yeah.
I don't know. That'll be a big question. On a one-year deal, very much interested, though, to bring back Hollywood Brown. Thinking of Xavier Worthy, though, for a little bit. His performance in the Super Bowl, it'll be the most underrated, valued performance because it happened in garbage time. Statistically, it's actually one of the great wide receiver performances in Super Bowl history.
Yep.
It really is. I mean, he had two touchdowns and obviously 150-plus yards.
156, I think.
Receiving. I mean, so that's one of those where it's tough because if you're worthy, you should be proud of your individual performance because he max effort. Like, we talk about, hey, their energy level wasn't good. It was all there for him. He should be very proud in a rookie year what he was able to put together. And he clearly developed as the year went on. And we should all be excited about what the future holds for Xavier Worthy in this offense.
Pretty much 95 yards and a touchdown in the playoffs.
Yeah. No, they should feel very, very good moving forward. It's why I think there will be excitement when eventually Rice and Worthy are on this field at the same time. What will be interesting is beginning of the season, if he's asked to be the number one again, which he was in a lot of parts this season.
He was.
But let's say Travis Kelce's not part of the picture. How does that change? I still think the progression he made gives me more hope that there's still more to come for him. Like, for a rookie to pick up the offense the way they did, much like Rashee Rice did his rookie year, by week 9, really week 10, I think it was that Buffalo game, week 11.
Yeah.
Week 11, Buffalo.
He's pretty much the number one wide receiver from then on.
He got better. Like, he's clearly a very smart receiver. I'm not trying to call anybody else out, but there's been other receivers in recent Chiefs history they have drafted that we've said, man, this dude maybe just doesn't pick up the offense. It's really tough for him to figure it out. Maybe the football IQ is not as great. That's not Worthy. It's the opposite. This kid is obviously very, very smart, was able to pick up the offense quickly in the middle of the season, becomes such a huge part of it.
The frustrating part about that game is that why didn't they utilize the deep ball in that way all season? Why did it take a moment of desperation to let him run past a safety and a corner? And that throw from Mahomes is ridiculous. It was like 70 yards in air on a dime. But like, the way he came back to the ball on the other one was actually the more impressive catch by him and route by him on there. Here are his last five games as a starter for the Chiefs. 8 for 157, 2 touchdowns, 6 for 85 and a touchdown. 5 for 45, no touchdowns, 8 for 79, 7 for 65 and a touchdown in each of those. So he had 5 touchdowns in his last 6 games, 431 yards in his last, 5 games for the Chiefs and averaged like 6-7 catches a game. I think he's already, and I told you this late in the season, he's a 1,000-yard receiver. He's Devonta Smith. And so if Rashee Rice's progression continues exactly the way it looked like it was going to go for the first 3 weeks of this season and the end of last season, well, then they have one of the better number one and number two young wide receiver duos in the entire NFL, and they got them for dirt cheap because the rookie wide receivers not making real money yet. They've got a real opportunity to do it. My bigger frustration is not that, because, like, yeah, he looks like he could be a star in the making, is I don't understand how at any point this season you didn't try to uncork that every once in a while. Did you learn a lesson? Or is it just because the offensive line never allowed you? What do you need to do in order to use that more is what I want.
I feel like it took him being down by 30 to be like, you know what? Forget it. I'm just throwing the ball up there and he's going to go make a play. I think that's the thing that was more impressive even than the Buffalo game with that one ridiculous catch that he made is he's not just fast. You know, he's not just John Ross. He's Devontae Smith in the fact that he's able to go up and make a contested catch while also having the 4-2-1 speed or whatever. Which
he looks so good.
Where I think you might, not that it encourages them to see it, to do it more often, but to your point, Cody, why not take one of those effort Xavier Worthy's down there somewhere
in week 7
and just throw it up there and just let him go make a play, because it's not like he's just fast and can't jump and can't track a ball. He can do everything.
Gold, you remember that one in the, like when we talked about it being the best catch of the entire against Houston. I mean,
yeah,
I think he could be a jump ball guy. I think he could be an everything guy.
The play against Buffalo where he had the one hand, the catch where he's pass interfered with, essentially.
Forget the weight. He played at 170 pounds and played. He's the healthiest receiver on the whole damn team. Yeah. He's the only guy who didn't miss a game.
And I'm sure in the offseason, I'm not saying he's going to suddenly show up and be 195 pounds, but like
his speed is part of it, so there's only so much weight you want
to
put on.
But my guess is, it'll always be something in the my guess is he'll try to put on a few more pounds as well, you know? But we thought going in, too, if you play at an indoor track like that, his speed is going to show off even more, like it did at the combine, and it showed off in New Orleans. Now, majority of games are going to be outside, but it's something I'm going to keep in mind. I'll be honest, when we talk about betting and stuff next year on Worthy, I'll have to go look at the schedule. How many games does he play indoors? Because those are the games where, man, I think the biggest yardage totals are coming. I have no idea how many. They may not play many other than LA, honestly, against the Chargers, because they play a lot of NFC East teams. So I guess Dallas is at home, so that's outdoors too. So I'm not sure, but that's something to keep in mind next year. Up next, we get to the 11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. One thing that might be an endpoint after Sunday's game, plus one area I think the Chiefs have to address, and it's not just left tackle.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built. It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.